be seated. Well, I feel like carrying on, going forth and fighting. We're on the right path, and I see it more every day. I'm older than some, and some are older than I am. And I'm sure they would agree with me that the longer you live, the more aware you are that God's way is the right way. And when you go afoul of that way, it causes confusion, it causes pain, it causes dread, it causes fear. It's just, the Bible is right. That's all there is to say. It's right. And I've been a Christian nearly 40 years now. When I started, I didn't know Jesus from Santa Claus. That's the literal truth. But I have lived those years, and I have seen that the Bible is right, and the world is wrong. And the more we're with the Bible, the better and happier, more joyous and more harmonious and peaceful our lives become. When we go against it, as sure as we think we are, in Proverbs it says, because punishment does not follow iniquity, people sin. And that's the truth. You know, we're off for 20 years, and all of a sudden, we say, what happened to me? What happened to you is what you've been sowing. Huh? So we do what is right. What we do what the Bible says, whether we see the consequences or not. And then later, we see we reap the peace and the joy. Praise the Lord. Well, we're all hard and slow learners. I know I am. So anyway, eventually we get the message. All right, Revelation chapter 10. Read verses 1 through 7. All right, and here we go. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. Seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. I want you to notice, first of all, let's take a broad look at three chapters here. Revelation 10, 11, and 12. And they, I think of them this way, and it might help to see the picture. Remember, there were not chapter divisions in the Bible when it was written. And I think that this all is speaking about one thing. It starts, is speaking about the seventh angel. Now, Revelation 10 is speaking about the preparation. Revelation of the great revival, the great end-time revival, which the Spirit even now is saying is going to come, a revival such as the world has never seen. Revelation chapter 10 tells about the preparation for that. Revelation chapter 11 tells about the latter rain revival. In the symbolism of two witnesses, that is the double portion of power, the two wave loaves of Pentecost. And then Revelation 12 tells about what is happening to the participants. And what is happening to the participants? Don't everybody speak at once because it causes confusion. You can't tell when everyone is speaking. Huh? What is happening in Revelation chapter 12? Christ is being formed in us. Now, when Christ is being formed in us, that is what is happening to us. In Revelation chapter 11 is talking about the witness which we give. Now, this is a very important Christ is being formed in us. And you can see that these do not have a strong orientation to time, because at the end of Revelation chapter 3, you have the church of Laodicea, which again in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is talking about come out of her, my people, is talking about come out of Laodicea. But yet it was over in chapter 3. And again, you see, Christ in us has been formed for the last 2,000 years. The woman has been in travail. In fact, the Catholics list Revelation chapter 12 as speaking of the Virgin Mary. And is that right, sister? That's Revelation chapter 12. So they say if that's the Virgin Mary, if it were chronological, then chapters 1 through 11 would have had to happen before Jesus was born. Don't you see? So I think scholars, whether they recognize it or not, in spite of all their charts, kind of intuitively recognize that there's not a strong time orientation of this thing. Once you make your chart, you're cooked. You've just made another individual interpretation, because the orientation of Revelation is not to time. You'll find, like at the end of chapter 11, you have the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Then in Revelation chapter 13, it starts off with Antichrist coming out of the sea. So you see, there's not an orientation. What it is like is that God is showing all the things that will happen before Jesus comes. And he says, now there'll be a witness. And now these are the things the churches need to know. And now there'll be the opening of these seals. And now there'll be this habit. And it's not really oriented to time. And if you can see that, it will be a blessing. You have to take each thing and kind of see. I say that the best interpretation of the seven churches of Asia is if the shoe fits, wear it. Because I'm sure that every generation of Christians has said, we're in Laodicea. Right? They have said that in the last generation of preachers. Ironside and the other prophetic writer said, we're in Laodicea. Right? So, it's almost whatever church you're in. So the churches really do not have a strong orientation of time, and yet there is some orientation of time, because as we read, it says, once this angel blows, then this is what is true. So if we look at it like that, we won't get all tangled up, and this happens, that happens, and that happens, this happens, everything, because then you've got real problems. But if you get the sense of it, now look at the practicality of this. How many people get a great gift of the Spirit and they go out and are used of the Lord, but they themselves are disqualified? Do you know that happens? Do you know why? Because when you minister, It is to build up Christ in other people, but especially in yourself, because the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. And you can minister and have all kinds of things and lose your own soul. Not profit from your own gift. That's why he said, but we prophesied in your name. We spoke in tongues. We cast out devils. We did all these things. I never knew you. So you see, it's one thing to bear witness, which the 11th chapter tells about the witness, the great Lateran witness. See, it's one thing to bear witness. But it's another thing to profit from your own ministry. There's two things supposed to be going on in your life at the same time. One is that God wants you to be a witness. And the other thing is, God wants you transformed, because when the Lord comes, the witness will be over, the tongues will pass away, that stuff is all temporary. And what's going to count then is what has happened to you. And if nothing has happened to you, the Lord isn't going to say, well, now you've got a great place because you have done this and witness and all. No, the Lord wants to see what has happened to you, what can be revealed in your life. And if nothing can be revealed in your life, then like Paul says, after you have preached to others, you yourself are disqualified. Oh, that we need to understand that today, because we see, oh, this minister did this, look at all that. That's great. God is using him. But once he dies, all that goes, and the angels pass to other people, etc., and so on. When he's raised up, all he's got is what profit he had from his own ministry and from the ministry of others. Do you see that? So these things are very necessary. One, preparation for the witness. Two, the witness itself that is coming. God has said in Zechariah 10, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Spirit is saying there's going to be a tremendous outpouring of power. And but at the same time, the ruler of the ages to come is being formed in us. Do you see the practicality of that? Never let your ministry become a substitute for godliness. Okay? Ministry is no index of spirituality. It is not an index of spirituality. Some of the most spiritual people in the body of Christ will be people that you'll never notice or never hear of, because their ministry is cloistered, it's precious to the Lord, and they're developing this fruit in the quietude of their own place where God has put them. Ministry is a gift that's just given to you. And it's actually very treacherous, because it's a temptation to you to think you're some big shot or God's gift to the world, and actually militates against your growth unless you're awfully careful, because it makes you prominent. And then people begin to look to you, and then the first thing you know, you fall into the snare of the devil. So God, some of God's choices, see, we don't see it. We say, oh, look what a gift he has. No, that doesn't say a thing about his growth. That is an external anointing that comes on. It's a gift of God. It's unrelated. The Holy Spirit just takes people and uses them. That's why you can should covet the gifts of the Spirit. They are not given to you because you are godly. They are given to you according to the dispensation of the grace of God, and God will use you even after you're long past your godly stage and have gotten to error because of your ministry. The Holy Ghost will still use you. Oh, I wish the church would understand that. Because they see ministers and they see, oh boy, you know, he's a great soul winner, but his life isn't quite up to cut the mustard. But maybe God's overlooking it, because look at the results. Oh no, God is not overlooking it. No, God is not overlooking one thing. Depart from me. I never knew you. So there's a great gulf between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. But they should interact, and they will interact, because the fruit makes our ministry more effective, and the ministry in turn should cause fruit to grow. But always remember that the gift is not an index of spirituality. And whenever the two conflict, always give way to the
fruit. Always give way to the creation of Christ. Like you say, oh, God wants to use me. I'm God's man of faith and power. And God is telling you to sit still. You may go out and God may use you and you'll lose the whole thing. Whenever the two come into conflict, the main thing is your role in obedience in Christ and humility, not what you, quote, have to offer, end quote. On the other hand, God carries no brief for some person who doesn't get out and use the gifts that he does have to bless the body of Christ because he's trying to bury him because he's trying to protect his spirituality. God will chasten you then for being negligent with the talents of the kingdom. See? So you can't win. What you've got to do is to get both of these going full bore. Your own personal growth, obeying the Lord, walking in holiness, being careful about the fine points of righteousness, never using how prominent and wonderful you are to be an excuse for arrogant and high-minded behavior. You don't do that. God will not buy that. Right? At the same time, God expects diligence and expects us to covet earnestly. And if you haven't in the last week prayed for gifts and power with God, why not? You're not going to get them because God sees how nice you are. You have to covet them, seek them, pray for them, and ask God and use what you've got like mad. And God will add to them. Doesn't the Bible teach that? All right, so that's kind of an overview. So tonight we're looking at the preparation stage. And you'll notice the very, very significant verse here, verse 7. And hold your finger there on verse 7. And I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians 15, something that Paul said. Someone read verse 52. Now you're holding Revelation 10:7. Remember, you got a finger on that verse. But someone in the church is reading 1 Corinthians 15, 52. All right. Now, when shall the resurrection take place? At the last trumpet. All right. Now, there are seven trumpets, starting with chapter 8, and this is the last one, and it's a honey. Now, what you've got to notice about it is that it is a period of time. It doesn't happen, you know, everybody's staggering around, and all of a sudden, bang, there goes the last trumpet, and zoom, there goes the church like a guided missile from Cape Kennedy. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If you'll notice in verse 7, now this is the key to it, but in the days, but in the days, see that? There's a period of time. The seventh angel appears, and when he does, he sets up a period of time. The band leader in heaven doesn't wave his arm and say, sixth one, sit down, seventh one, stand up. It's a dispensation of God's working. And all the things that happen in Revelation chapters 10 and 11 are in the days, because he doesn't sound his climactic tone until Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Someone read that. Revelation 11, 15.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever.
All right, now do you see how that the seventh angel appears first in Revelation 10:1? This is he. But he doesn't finally sound his climactic note until the end of practically the end of the 11th chapter. So all of that in between consists of the days of the seventh angel. See how that goes there? It's a dispensation, a period of time during which there shall be a preparation of witnessing the world's greatest witness, the overcoming of the witness, the 3.5 years, the reviving of the witness, and then the angel sounds, all during the days of the seventh angel. Praise the Lord. See how there's not a strong orientation of time? What it's oriented toward is the spiritual things that we get. That's what it's oriented. It's telling you this is the way God's working and this is the way that you can expect. It isn't clippity-cloppity-cloppity-cloppity-clop, you know, this event, this, and this. It's not that way. I think you can see that. All right. And notice in verse 7, the mystery of God should be finished. And by the way, that that there should be time no longer in verse 6 doesn't mean time, that's the end of time and there's going to be no clocks in the millennium. That isn't what it means. It means that there should be delay no longer. See, that we have come to the end. And so the seventh angel, that's why Paul says it's going to take place at the last trumpet. Now, that is in that period of time. Now, I lost my thought here. Come to me. Praise the Lord. The mystery of God, that's it. Now, what is the mystery of God? Where's that found in the scripture? Colossians 1:27, whom God would make known, what is the mystery, the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, of the glory, what is it, make known the mystery of the riches of the mystery or glory of the mystery or something. Colossians 1:27, what is that? You should know this because this is a key passage in the New Testament, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known, what is the what? No, that's another place. That's in Romans.
What is the riches of his glory?
Oh, is he? He's right. The riches of his glory, what?
Of this mystery.
This mystery. All right, the brother's right. All right. So what is the mystery of the gospel? See, the what you're getting in Revelation 12. See, the forming of Christ in us is the most important thing in the entire Bible. Because everything depends on it. The marriage of the Lamb, the temple of God, the ruling of the earth, the judgment of the devil. Everything depends on Christ being formed. And apart from that, there is nothing. Nothing. God cannot do a thing with untransformed human beings, be they ever so sweet. He's looking for his son. He's looking for his son. And that is the eternal temple of God. God in Christ in us. That's the kingdom of God. That's the mystery of God. That's the main thing. Is Christ being formed in you? If Christ isn't formed in you, you've lost the whole thing. I don't say you won't be saved or anything of the kind, but as far as the kingdom of God is, you have lost the kingdom. That is what God wants, is Christ formed in you. And that's what he's saying. In the days of the seventh angel, you see, the mystery of God has been completed. That kingdom of God has been completed in the first fruits. All right, now, To study the characteristics of this tremendous revival, you look at the angel. See, whenever the Lord addresses a church, he addresses what? The angel. Write to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Taylor translates that the pastor. That's a very kindly thing on his part, but it's not true. The pastors are not angels. Oh, come on, Hank. I thought surely you'd say amen. Now, because, you see, that's where the action is in the spiritual domain of the church. Not in all the things that we think and say and do. It's what the angel of the church, that's where the problem is. And so, this is the angel of the end time witness. So if you want to know the characteristics of God's moving in the end time and what you can receive and expect to receive, if you will pray and do your part and read the Word and serve God and come out of this wretched money interest rat race and purge yourself from it and don't touch it and get back to good old-fashioned, blood-washed, Holy Ghost living for God, like we know what we should be doing, then these things are yours. These are the characteristics. And isn't it wonderful that God has kept the good wine until now? He's kept the greatest glory for the end time. First of all, notice that it is a mighty angel. It is a strong angel. It is a powerful angel because it is going to be holding forth for the people of God during the greatest rise of iniquity. This, the church is not going to fizzle out. It's going to receive the greatest angel of God's power that any dispensation has ever been. Notice that it is clothed with a cloud. No, that it comes down from heaven. Now, true revivals cannot be brought around with money, with the assembling of stars. And people have a revival today. They call on every Hollywood star and all these things. They may get something done, but brother, sister, that is not where the hunger of my heart is. To go and this star got saved. Who is he? Maybe Hoot Gibson. I'll see, choose Hoot Gibson because he's dead. Don't laugh. He'll give you way. Hoot Gibson goes way back there, huh? All right. You don't know Hoot Gibson. Come on. Brother, you remember Hoot Gibson? No, he never went to the Nickelodeon. That was... Yeah, he went when they used to call it the Nickelodeon, cost you a nickel. Well, he never went, I know, but he had a friend that did, and they told him about Hoot Gibson. So I'll blame Hoot Gibson, or Tom Mix. You remember Tom Mix? All right. Well, Tom Mix I can't use because he really was a good Christian. Tom Mix was a tremendous Christian. Did you know that? That guy, well, see, this is way before your time. I had to talk about Elvis Presley or somebody. Even then, I won't catch most of them. All right, young church. Well, yeah, say poor old Hoot Gibson, because he's probably been dead for a quarter of a century or more. And he gets saved and he comes, oh, you know, this revival. There's no revival there. The best thing you could do for the man is to put him undercover where nobody ever hears from him for 25 years. You ever expect him to save his soul? He'll have such a misconception of Christianity, he'll never understand a thing about being a saint. I suppose being a saint is riding around from meeting to meeting and making $1 million or something. Living in big motels. That's not being a saint. No, revivals come only from one place. Heaven. See, they can't be worked up, they can't be paid for, they can't be organized, they can only be prayed down. There's nothing else you can do with a revival but pray it down. And some of the greatest revivals in history, whether you're talking about Finney or Praying Hyde or Moody, who you want to talk about, is a couple of people praying and one guy doing it and others backing him up with prayer. A handful of people. It doesn't come with assembling of superstars. That's baloney. It has to be prayed down. That's the only thing you can do with a revival, is pray it down. That's how Pentecost started, was with a good black brother, a dishwasher by the name of Seymour, a Nazarene who was praying 7 hours a day. Finally, the Holy Ghost fell in Bonnie Bray Street. Then it moved to Azusa. And that was for years that guy went on, washing dishes and praying 7 hours a day, washing dishes to keep beans on the table and praying. Working and praying till the power fell. Revivals have to be prayed down. There's no other way. So he comes down from heaven. He's clothed with a cloud. What does the cloud tell us? Whenever you see the cloud, what's it talking about? The coming of the Lord. You remember in Daniel chapter 7, and I saw one like the Son of Man, and he came with the clouds of heaven. Whenever you see a picture in the Bible of the day of the Lord, really, the real day of the Lord, there's always a cloud involved. And Jesus, remember when he ascended? What did they say? This same Jesus, which you have seen him go up to heaven. And how did he go up? What received him out of their sight? A cloud. He'll come again. That's the sign of the Lord's coming. The cloud is the sign of the Lord's coming. It's also the sign of revival. Who saw a cloud the size of a man's hand? Who? Elijah. Remember, he prayed, and it came up a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And see, so it was a little cloud, and the latter rain revival will begin with small things. And you remember in Revelation chapter 11, it says, these are the two olive trees standing before the God of the earth. Where is that taken from? Zechariah, what chapter? Fourth. Revelation 11, the two witnesses talking about Zechariah 4, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You know what else it says in that chapter? Despise not the day of small things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right in Revelation. And you see the headstone coming down because that prophet, Zechariah, was prophesying during the restoration of the temple of God. And this 11th chapter speaks of the restoration of the temple of God. That's why it goes back. It says these are the two lampstands, going back to Zechariah 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. A cloud, a rainbow was on his head. What does that mean? Where do you see the rainbow in Revelation? Around the throne. It means it's throne power. There's going to be throne power in the latter rain revival, right from the very throne of God. Now, the power of gifts and ministries operate at many levels. And you notice this as you get into the spiritual things. Some people will prophesy, they prophesy at this level. Another person will prophesy at that level. Another person will prophesy at that level. That's just according to the gift, the angel of gift that you have. But this revival is coming from the throne of God. Another thing, where did the rainbow originate? In Noah's day, and what does it symbolize? Hope. See, I'll never again destroy the earth with a flood. The rainbow speaks of a happy tomorrow, of hope, of cheer. The little ant, after a severe rain, and the little ant can look up on the ground and see the glory of God in the clouds. And that's a promise between God and every living creature that the water never again will become a flood to destroy the earth. Isn't that wonderful? That still appears. That's God's promise. So the latter rain revival is a revival of promise. And his face was as the sun. What does that stand for? The sun of righteousness. But there's that's Malachi 4:2, but there's another one. I don't know if I wrote it down here. You remember in Matthew, it speaks of when the tares are separated from the wheat. What does it say about the wheat? Do you remember? It says, and they shone like the sun. Their righteousness is the sun. Where is that in Matthew, the parable of the wheat and tares? What chapter is that in Matthew? 13. That sounds right. That sounds right. Doug's been doing his homework. Okay. And then shall the righteous shine forth. What does it say? Then shall the righteous shine forth. 43. Read that verse. It's talking about righteousness. In Malachi 4:2, you have this expression, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness. The Son in the Scripture and the symbolism stands for righteousness. It's a pure heat. Clear. There's no blemish in it. And you remember in the man-child in Revelation 12, the woman is clothed with the Son. That is, she's clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So it's going to be a revival of righteousness. All these things that God puts in here are symbolic. Now his feet are as pillars of fire. What does that mean? Huh? Judgment. That the end time revival will not be a good time for all of God's people. It will be after certain things have transpired. It will be the most wonderful time and the most joyous time you ever have experienced. But there must come some point in your Christian life and I've been saying this for nearly 7 years now, but you'll see that it will happen, that your time has come, and God will get down to the things in your life that are not pleasing to Him. Now, it may happen to you when you're a fairly new Christian. It may happen to you when you're an older Christian. I tell you this, it will happen to you when you least expect it. And you will react in any number of ways. You will be surprised. You will be chagrined. And you will say, how could it happen? I thought I was too spiritual. Or the Lord loved me too much. It's a real test. Does God love you? And it's hard to stay sweet because you feel, if God loves me, how could He let this happen? And it isn't the same for everybody. God gets you where you can be got. And He waits in your life until He has a handle on you. But there must come a time, because before that time you haven't been converted. And I'm using converted now in a special sense. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm using it in a special sense, like Jesus spoke to Peter, who had been following Him all that time. And He says, when you are converted. And you see, they had been arguing who would be the greatest. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you. And your day will come. Just remember, your day will come. When you're young, you go where you want to. When you're old in the Lord, they carry you where you don't want to go. And you'll be carried where you don't want to go. When that happens, and listen, take heart, it's not forever. It isn't, the Christian life isn't one great crisis or one great judgment so that you're burned to a crisp and you end up like beef jerky. You know? The Lord doesn't want a lot of beef jerky to eat. There's people that have all the juice squashed out of them and nothing's left but hard beef. You'll think so when you're going through it. But God will water you copiously and bring you through a hard place and then water you copiously again. It is not a grave. Though when you're going through it, it may be very difficult, but it is not a grave. You will come out on the other end. But this is absolutely necessary, because prior to this time, you're still full of yourself. And boy, to get yourself out of the picture takes a lot of suffering. But God has His way of doing it, because otherwise we're no good to the Lord and we're no good to people, because we just stink of self. That's all we may have a ministry and everything, but all that comes across when you minister is how great we are. If that's coming across to you when I minister, then you could just write it in your little book. Thompson hasn't died. All he's doing is delivering his own goods. But when you suffer enough, there's something in you dies. And God, during that process, brings out many sins. He brings out many motives, many things. And when the process is over, God restores to you, like He did to Job, manifold more than you had before. Now, I don't envy you when you're going through it. I don't say I'm all the way through it. I've been pretty low. If I had to go through it again, I have to go through it. That's all there is to it. Because we're no use to God as long as we're, it's just big old us doing our thing. It's just no use to God. We'll holler like sin when it's happening, and it scares you after death. Don't ever quit. Fight for what you believe. It's no joke. But you see, if God's going to put you in the seat of power, then you have got to experience what the people who someday will suffer from your judgments, you have got to have some kind of a feeling. Before that time, we've got a lot of religious pride and we're ready to send everybody to hell. That's right. Look at her kids. Look at the way they behave. Those brats. Well, wait till you have a brat of your own that doesn't do right. You'd be surprised how mellow you can get. Like they say, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. That's right. And God many times has to show us that we're in a glass house.
it's amazing the compassion that you get for people when you have suffered their sufferings. It gives you insight and realize, and you remember, boy, I remember when I was there and that was no picnic. But before that time, we're so sure. You know why they're there? If they'd have done like me, they wouldn't be there. Dear God, the high-mindedness of it all. Oh, it soars up, makes the Empire State Building look like an anthill. You got a high-minded Christian, and you're looking at it, you've got to look at it with Palomar. Boy, they are up there in the nebulous blue. And you've got a problem, and they have got the answer for you. You feel like, kick the whole thing out. I never care if I ever see another Christian again. But after you're brought low enough, and then when you hear somebody hollering, you say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. God help us all. And then when we go through those things, then God can approach us. Because before that time, we're way over God. We've got more answers than God has. God's having a time pulling his people through. All if he'd listen to us, Leslie, he wouldn't have any problem. We got the answer. So listen to me. But thank God, God is humble and lowly, and he can have fellowship with the drunk in the gutter, or whoever it is, or some little child, or whatever it may be. God's perfectly at home with them, but the high-minded, he can't do a thing with them. So God has to bring us down, because the most stiff-necked people in the world from the days of Sinai are God's people. That's what God said. I'm only quoting what God said. Don't look at me. I didn't write. He says, you're the most stiff-necked people on the face of the earth. Well, that's the way we are. But this angel comes by, and instead of having hush puppies on, look what he's got. Pillars of fire. I see a guy walking around with pillars of fire instead of shoes on. Well, that's the way this end time revival is. It starts off with like fun and games, but boy, before it gets through, you wonder if you're going to make it. But we do make it. So there's a lot of judgment in here. All right, he had in his hand a little book open. And we talked about that despise not the day of small beginnings. You've got to watch this thing. Because our culture, and even worldwide now, the big thing is, the more people, you had 500,000 people in a stadium. Wow, God moved. He may not have moved at all. People went, bought a hot dog, and went home. You know? You've got to watch for the small stuff. You got to watch for the stable. He didn't open up the Encyclopedia Britannica. He opened up a little book. And Daniel, it says, the book is sealed until the last days. I believe the seals are being opened today. You can read in commentaries, you won't find a fifth of what's available today among the saints. Adam Clark, Jameson, Fawcett and Brown, Coney Barron, Housham, Alfred's, you read them all. They don't have what's available today. The seals are coming off. Because you can't understand the Bible with your brain. God has to give it to you by revelation. Then you say, oh! And it hits you like that. I see! But before that, you can figure, and you get it all put together, and this means that, and that means this, and this Greek word fits that. And you don't get it that way. You get it by prayer. By the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the problem with Bible scholars. There's no such thing. There's only holy men of God. Hallelujah. Well, anyway. All right, now, he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, you ought to try that sometime. You get down on the beach, you know, put one foot on the sand, and then the other, get it in the surf like that, and stand there like a big angel. No, he's not talking about that. He means one foot in the middle of the continent and the other foot in the middle of the ocean. This is a big angel. This is one big angel. This angel of the latter rain revival is big enough to torment all the nations of the earth. He's powerful enough to stop what's going on today. He's powerful enough to stop the music until every person hears the gospel of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. He has command over the landmass. He has command over the mass of water. He has dominion all over the earth. This isn't any little piddling thing dreamed up by some church. This is the power of God to stop the music until the world understands that God is coming to the earth. Hallelujah. And he cried with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Can you imagine that coming down from heaven? Wouldn't you think you'd be sweet and nice? A real nice angel. Do you ever hear a lion roar? Do you ever hear the animals roar at feeding time in the Stockton Zoo? About 5 o'clock, we have to be in Stockton to appreciate that. All the animals cry at once for their... Why do they do that in Stockton? Man, I never heard that in any other place. Why do all the animals roar? Do you ever hear them roar at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? You never did? You must have been on the end of Stockton where we used to visit Audrey's sister there. 5 o'clock every afternoon. All, I said, well, first time I ever heard it. I said, what in the world? I said, well, that's the feeding time at the zoo. And all the animals, you know, like your pussy cries. Well, every animal in the zoo cries there at a certain time. Now, lions roaring. They all stamp around. Well, this angel roars like a lion. He doesn't talk nice. You expect a Latter-rain preacher to be soft-spoken? Yeah? We don't like loud preachers. Our preacher yells all the time. Doesn't need a microphone. Well, the angel, he roars. As to say, whistle. Or saying, nearer my God to thee. He roared like a lion. Don't you like that? It's a time for God to roar, people. It's time for God to roar. The nations aren't going to understand anything else. We can tell them about how much God loves them and play violin music to them and give them quartets with 6 people in them. So they do. They advertise a quartet that has 6 people, and I have never understood that. And tell them how God loves them, how wonderful it is. Show them all the flowers and how beautiful it is. It's time for God to roar like a lion. Roar! I'm going to do something around here. I'll eat you up. Amen. I'm in favor of it. Praise the Lord. All right. I don't know. I'll take 3 minutes and tell you about the seven thunders. But it may be time to roar at the Royal Rangers, Hank. And just go in there and just roar. Just say, I'm the seventh angel, and just roar. And they'll know what it means. All right. Now, when he had cried as with a loud voice, as when a lion roared, and when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. You can imagine the commotion. And you think heaven's a quiet place. And look at it going on. When he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voice. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. Would you like to know what they said? Yes, sir. Well, I would too. All right. Now, what does thunder mean? What does thunder stand for in the scripture? Huh? You know what? They don't have any thunder around here. That's the problem. You live in the middle latitudes and nothing happens. You get where they have thunderstorms. And they have thunder, and it shakes everything. The dishes rattle and the house rattles. And dogs howl and people run under the bed. You never see any thunder around here. It doesn't, once in a while, a little thunder. It doesn't amount to anything. I mean, where there's a real old-fashioned thunderstorm. How many have ever been in an old-fashioned thunder? Not well, all right, you know what I'm talking about. What does it make you think of? New Jersey, they have a New Jersey. What does it make you think of?
Power.
Power. Power. Power. That's a lot of power up there in one of those discharges. And somehow, thunder communicates the awe of God. Especially if it's getting close to you and gives a rattle thing. Boy, you get some sense of the majesty of God. And the number 7 stands for perfection. And what it's saying here is there is going to be perfect power, the fullness of power. See, greater works than these shall you do. The fullness of power shall be issued
to the witness in order that every person on earth preach the gospel. See, this gospel must be preached to every nation. And you know article that came out from the man that's president of the Foursquare had other things to say. He said, the Spirit is saying there's coming a revival of unprecedented power. He said, the people in Russia, now, see, they have missionaries all over the place, and they have these contacts, and they said, the saints in Russia, that God is speaking to them, that tremendous revival is coming to Russia. See, the Spirit is speaking of these things. And I remember, Audrey, when we were up to here, the lady there in Montana, didn't she prophesy that, as I remember, Sister Sitton? Didn't she prophesy that God was going to open up revival in Russia, as I remember? And where else did she say? Somebody, and I was sitting there turning, boy, oh boy, preach it, preach it, preach it, because that rings with me. And that's true. God is going to make all these nations. But what is it going to take? Power. See, the question of righteousness is always a mixture of power and truth. Power and truth. Power is helpless without truth. Truth is helpless without power. We've got the truth, and now God has to give us the power. When you get power and truth together, you get righteousness. We've got to have this perfect power, or nothing's going to happen. People are going to go on being slaughtered like they are today. All right, God has promised it. But why is it hidden? All right, when you go in the Bible, you find out that God hides his power. See? I can find it. Now, we have in, Habakkuk, the third chapter. You go to Habakkuk, the third chapter. I don't have time for us to look for it. It's a little book in there, but it'll be on the table. Remember, Habakkuk, the third chapter, talks about the rays coming out from God's hand. And it says this, it says, there was the hiding. The hiding of his power. See, God hides. He makes it a secret. He hides his power. And then we find, when we get, that's Habakkuk 3:4. And then when we get into Psalms 81 verse 7, listen. Psalms 81 7. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. In the secret place of thunder. And then he goes on and he explains it. He says, I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. So the reason that the power, that the thunders uttered their voices and immediately was concealed, is because you have to pass by the way of Meribah. The secret is in the waters of Meribah. Now, those references I gave you were Habakkuk 3:4, and Psalms 81:7. Now we pass to Meribah, which is in Exodus chapter 17. And we find out what does the thunder and the hiding of his power have to do with Meribah. And we find this in Exodus 17 verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, or test, and Meribah, quarrel, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted or tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us? That's the beginning of Meribah. But you see, that great rock followed them through the wilderness. So they came to Meribah again in Numbers, the 20th chapter. Numbers, the 20th chapter. And he said, take the rod. Now, this is the second time. This was not the first time when they first came out of Egypt that we just read. But this is the second time toward the end of Moses' life. He said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shall I give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now, what did he say to Moses in Exodus 17? Smite the rock. Smite the rock. What did he say this time? Speak to the rock. See? But Moses, by this time, had become so angered with the people and had come into such an adversary relationship with these 2 million people, see, that it affected him.
and he didn't hear, and he was, you know, the people are mumbling again, and I'm getting sick of it, and you rebels, this kind of thing. And so he said, he took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you waters out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. See, God honored him. God honored him. But I don't know if I've got it written down. I don't. But you remember the story. God was very, very upset. And he said to Moses, because you did not sanctify me. It's a peculiar use of the word sanctification, but I've got to use it because that's what the scripture says. Because you didn't set me apart in the eyes of the congregation, you may not enter the land of promise. Now, when we come to the latter rain revival and the people of the Lord begin to get wind of the power and of the glory and of the dominion that is possible under this tremendous, unprecedented glory, what they're going to want to do, they're going to say, give me, give me. And so God, so the thunders, the lion roars, showing the tremendous wrath of God and the roar of the king and what we can expect in the authority of this kind of thing that's coming up. And then the seven thunders are speaking of the power of God, the fullness of his power. And God says right away, no. See? And you know what God is saying about his power today? No. Because something has to happen first. God is saying, I will not give my power like I did in the old days when men could be vaunted, when men could set themselves up and strike the rock. Because in the latter rain revival, God is going to be glorified. And it will not be as it is today where big stars are glorified and men are glorified. That day is over, saints. He is not going to give his power so that we can continue to make idols of men. There's going to be no big preacher associated with the latter rain revival. Hear me. Because he's not going to be able to close it in, and he's not going to be able to profit from it, and he's not going to be able to capitalize from it. He's going to have to become very meek and cease the smiting and begin to speak so that he very carefully is showing the people that there is no power in him and there is nothing in him and that he is nothing more than they are, nothing but a member of the body of Christ. And he just speaks very nicely to the Lord. And when the Lord gets people who can do that, and that he is certain that they will not do any more of these abominable idolizing of people. You remember how Paul and Silas ran among them and said, stop this business. Would the God men would do that today and say, you will not put me on a pedestal, but you will give the glory to Jesus alone. And when God has people that he can trust beyond doubt to sanctify him. Because you see, no person who smites the rock will go into the land of promise. See? That day is over. You cannot take that ministry and cross Jordan. You cannot do it. Because Jordan represents death to self. You cannot go over into the plenary power of God until you have died to your desire to be, to vaunt, even though I'm tempted to say to be used of God. Yet that's a good desire if it's in the right way. But I mean where we get the idea that we're somebody. God's got to take that all out of his church. And brother, sister, that's a big order. That's a big order where we're all become little people and no one is exalted but just the Lord Jesus. And then the seven thunders, then we can hear what they say, and God will lead us to the perfection of power. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that in the day in which we are living, the exaltation of man is coming to an end. Lord, we have followed men, we have trusted in men, and they have let us down every time. Man is not to be accounted of, O Lord. Everyone has an Achilles heel. Everyone fails us in the critical time, Lord. And we have learned not to trust in man or what man can do, because we see, Lord, that it destroys both the congregation and the minister when we get into this idolatry, Lord. It is destructive. It destroys everyone. And Lord, we pray that as you are ready to issue the perfection of power, that we will once and for eternity learn the lesson that God alone is to be exalted. And no matter what God does through us or uses us, that we will keep in our hearts free and separated from even the very works that we do, and look at them with disinterest and not attached to it, so that we can say, yes, this is what God has done. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus glorious? That God may retain his glory. Oh, grant that to us, Lord. We will never, never make that mistake and be kept out of the land of promise because we refuse to humble ourselves and give God the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. And we thank you that there is a rainbow today. Hallelujah, that's coming down into a world in which is dark and full of dismal gloom and sin. But the rainbow of hope is there, Lord, that there is coming power from the throne of God to preach the gospel to every creature. And the saints will be resurrected at last. And Antichrist will be destroyed. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him, saints, for his power, the power that God has promised. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Greater works than these shall he do, Jesus said. He has kept the good wine until now, the man said. Hallelujah. Elisha had the double portion. Praise your name, Lord. We're looking for the double portion of thy glory. Hallelujah. To pour out of your spirit. Praise your name upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. And upon your servants and your handmaidens, hallelujah, pour out of your spirit, O God, upon all flesh. Praise your name, Lord, upon all flesh. Hallelujah, that we may behold the glory of the Lord. Be thou exalted, O Lord, that no flesh shall glory in thy presence. Praise your name, Almighty God, that no flesh should glory in your presence. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, may Jesus be exalted. Hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. May he be Lord and Master. Hallelujah. Oh, God, take unto thee thy great power and reign, O Lord. Hallelujah. We give the glory to God. Hallelujah. On high, who alone is good, who alone is worthy to be worshipped. Oh, God, we do not trust in man. Oh, God, pour down thy spirit from heaven. Jesus, Jesus, pour down thy glory from heaven, Lord. We do not trust ourselves. Oh, God, there's nothing we can do, Lord, except pray and seek your face and obey your voice. Oh, send the latter rain, Lord. Send the power to bear witness.
Oh, God, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, prepare us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thy Spirit without measure, Lord. Without measure upon Thy church, upon Thy people, Lord. Oh, may all flesh, Lord, be bowed down in Thy presence, Lord. May no one be lifted up, Lord, except Jesus. Oh, God, the world needs to see Jesus. The church needs to see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Show us Jesus, we pray, that we may hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Avarakahandra lavahasilio. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thy glory, Lord. Fills the heavens and the earth. Oh, come quickly, Jesus. And pour out of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray for Russia tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, those wonderful people, Lord. God, they will serve you by the millions, Lord. Lord, just break the yoke in their land, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, pour out of your Spirit upon them. Oh, God, that they may dream dreams and see visions. Prophesy, sing in the Spirit. Fill the land of Russia, Lord, with your praises. Hallelujah. Fill the whole land with your praises, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, fill Russia, Lord, with your praises this night. Lord, lift up the hearts of the saints, Lord. Hallelujah, reveal yourself, Lord, to the Russian people. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, arrest them just like you did Saul of Tarsus and make them apostles, Lord. Oh, Jesus, yes, Lord, hallelujah. That that great land, Lord, will sing your praises. Sing the praises of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Worldwide, Lord. That every, Lord, I pray, if it be your will, Lord, in my lifetime, in the lifetime of the people here, that every creature will hear the gospel of the kingdom and see the power of God in our day, Lord, in our day. We pray, Lord, it will take an angel with a foot on the land and a foot in the ocean. God, greater, enlarge our faith, Lord. Enlarge our vision of what God is able to do. Hallelujah. Help us to see that kind of power, Lord, that you can really take command of the land and of the water and cause every creature on earth to hear the gospel and see the glory of God. We believe it, Lord. And thank you for it, because we know it's coming, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. The latter rain, Lord, and we ask for it. Oh, God. Oh, God, for everyone. Bright clouds. Grass in the field. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a world lighted once more with the glory of God before the hour of darkness comes. Blessed be your name, Lord. Once more. One more testimony, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. For everyone has not heard, Lord. They have not heard. They have not heard. One more, Lord. One more, we pray. One more chance to spread the gospel to every creature, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. Hallelujah. To the whole world hears. Oh, God, send it from heaven. Send it from heaven, Lord. That which man cannot do, glorify yourself, Father. Remember, you love the world, Father,
and you gave your son. Oh God, but they can't hear unless you make it possible. Praise your name. Oh Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Grant it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll ask the brethren to come tonight and lead us in the communion service. Sherry, do you have your accordion? That's holy priesthood. Praise the Lord. Royal priesthood. Reading in 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we remember you tonight, Lord. We remember you upon the cross. We remember also, Lord, that you are our sovereign Lord today. We remember that you're coming again and that we must live by you as you live by the Father. Oh, cause this to be in us resurrection life tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, that we might be in the world but not of the world. And might be filled with the power of God, ready to bear witness to the ends of the earth. We covenant with you, Lord. You send us. We shall go. Hallelujah. Under your direction. Use us, Lord, for we wait upon thee. Shall we partake together? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup before the Lord? When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, by this cup we show your death, that you died for our sins upon the cross. And Lord, we live by your life. Hallelujah. Lord, more and more, make it true to every member of this church, young and old, that we live not by bread alone, but by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are our strength and our life. And we are here tonight in your name to vow to you, Lord, that we belong to you and not to ourselves. Use us as you will, Lord, for we are burdened tonight for the nations of the lost. Hallelujah. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're God's royal priesthood. We're the house of Aaron. And the scripture says, let the house of Aaron praise the Lord. We are God's priests. And the world waits for us to be ready to bring God to them and they to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord. We are God's priesthood. And so we eat of the flesh and drink the blood of God's high priest. Shall we stand? Let's join hands across the aisle. There's two or three things we need to pray about as a congregation. Hallelujah. I wonder if you just join hands right across the aisle and agree with us as we pray tonight, bowed with a spirit of and a burden of travail. Hallelujah, Lord. And we need to pray tonight, Lord, for the young people of this church. From the little ones all the way through up, we need to bow in prayer. And Lord, we agree together, Lord. We agree together, Lord. Oh, God, keep our young people, Lord, by your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep your young people, our young people, Lord, by your power. We need help, Lord. We need help, Lord. We need help. Help, Jesus, that they might be released, oh God, from the drugs and from the alcohol and from the curses that are on this generation. God, we pray, Lord, around the young people, Lord, that you will set a wall and keep them from the lust and from the things that destroy.
Amen, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. From that which is unclean.
Oh,
and that which is destructive. And that, Lord, which is of the devil.
Oh,
hallelujah. Deliver the young people of this church, Lord.
Oh,
from unclean influences.
Yes,
from people that tear them down.
Yes,
from teachers that destroy. From every other thing, Lord, that destroys them. Lord, deliver them. Hallelujah. Give them good friends. Send them friends, Lord, that will lead them in the right way. Hedge them off with a wall of fire. Surround them, O God, with thy power. We claim them for you, every one of them, Lord. We claim them for you. Hallelujah. They are the seed of the righteous. Deliver them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord. Put your hand of protection upon them. Give the parents wisdom. Give us tenacity. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us wisdom and determination that we rule our homes well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put a spirit of obedience upon the children. Hallelujah. And deliver our children, Lord, from the spirit of franticness and hyperactivity and ceaseless motion, and give them peace and the ability to have a quiet spirit and peace, and to attend to instruction.
Amen.
And a spirit of love for their parents.
Yes, Lord.
A spirit of love for their parents.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
we pray, Lord,
yes,
that you will bring the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Yes, right.
And the children to their fathers.
Yes,
and the parents to the children.
Yes,
and the children to the parents.
Yes,
oh, God, to prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes,
we can't do it in our own strength. We need your help. We need your help. We need your help. And strengthen every mother among us. And give her supernatural strength and supernatural wisdom, that she may be able to rear her children, Lord, in this environment. And give every father supernatural strength and supernatural wisdom and supernatural courage, that he may be the head of his home. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Strengthen our homes. Set relationships in order. My Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. And deliver us, Lord, from the destruction of our families. Set our homes in order. Husband, wife, children. God, we can't do it in our own strength. We ask for supernatural help from heaven. My Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. We're a needy people. We're a needy people. We humble ourselves. We confess that we cannot do it. We have to have help from heaven. My Jesus, we have to have help from heaven. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And deliver us from every satanic bondage. Oh, God, we need help. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, as we go forth to our jobs tomorrow, Lord, we pray, Lord, there will be a shield around each one, Lord, a tangible presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, that each one, Lord, may walk in heavenly places with you.
Oh God, hallelujah. Lord, make us the head and not the tail, Lord. Hallelujah, that we set the tone for conduct, Lord, and not the wicked. Oh, Jesus, strengthen us on the job, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, touch the bosses, Lord, that they may do the right things. Oh, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for our school facility, Lord, that as the city, Lord, is raising questions, we pray, Lord, that you will give us absolute right, Lord, and make everything go through, Lord, just as it's planned, Lord, our building program and everything, Lord, will go through. We ask for your help, Lord. We ask for your help, Lord. Hallelujah. We take dominion over every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over every hindering spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray that the city of power, Lord, will regard this church and this school, Lord, and we will grant favor, Lord, in the eyes of all that have power, Lord, and that you will put the fear of God upon them, Lord. Hallelujah. And that we will be able to do your work, Lord, without any hindrance whatsoever. Praise your name. Praise your name. And Lord, we pray you'll give this church a worldwide vision, Lord, that we will have every country. We will feel it is our personal responsibility, Lord. Every nation under heaven, Lord, that you will prepare us rapidly, and we will never lose sight of the fact that we are your royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You haven't called us, Lord, to labor for Pharaoh, to labor in the fire for very vanity, but you have called us to bear the holy anointing oil of our God. Hallelujah. That all men might behold the glory of the Lord. Put the holy anointing oil on every member of this congregation, that we may walk among men as the priests of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, the anointing of power and of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of God. Hallelujah, that we may never forget where we are, that we are the priests of the Most High God. Hallelujah. 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 We are finished with the world. We are finished with it. We are finished with it. We do not trust it. And we do not want to be part of it, Lord. Hallelujah. We are in it as your priest, Lord. Help us to stand and to shine, oh God, by the power of your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Grant that we may do all these things, Lord, by your power, and that they will really be done. And not just talked about, Lord. Avaraka Hashiria Kisilia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And grant that the least among us shall be as David. Hallelujah. The least among us shall be a strong nation. Hallelujah. Avaraka Hundaya. The one shall put 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight. And we will be strong in help. And we will not be victimized by the plagues that come upon Egypt. And from this night forward, we will be separate. Hallelujah. Separate. Separate. Separate unto thee, O God, as a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. And remind us of that tomorrow, Lord. And let the holy oil of our God be upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And this we all agree together. Hallelujah. 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 And all the saints said, Amen.
Amen. You have children, yea, and care for them and nurture. So does the Lord thy God have children, whom ye are, and he has cared for thee, and has nurtured thee, and brought thee to this point in thy life.
Yes.
And he would say to thee, the day of thy accountability is fast approaching upon thee. Thou must stand among the elders, thou must take thy vestiture, and thy time of service is coming upon thee. Yea, thy time of preparation and of childhood doth draw to an end.
Yes,
the things that thou hast allowed in thy life shall be allowed no longer. Thou hast laid aside the toys and the jewels and the things that thou hast lightly played with. Thou ordained before the Lord. The Lord hath laid his hand upon thee and brought thee to this hour. Many among you are arriving at the time of thy accountability. Thou shalt take it with great seriousness before the Lord, for it is not a light thing that he doth do unto thee. Yea, thy heart and thy mind shall be single before him. Thou must put thyself like men and be strong in the Lord. Yea, he shall require of thee that thou dost gird the loins of thy mind, that thou dost lay aside the things and the guiles with which thou hast beguiled thy Lord. Yea, and those around thee, thou shalt lay this aside. Thou shalt quit thyself. Thou shalt be strong in him and prepare for thy vestiture.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord, we take it to heart. Lord, and we covenant in our own hearts, Lord. Help us to be serious about the day of our visitation, O Lord. Hallelujah, that we may not just talk alone, but may do what you have told us to do. Hallelujah, that we may do it, Lord, that we may do it. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for the exhortation. We give praise unto you. Thank you for it. Now, Lord, help us to respond to it, to put away our guile, to put away our silliness and immaturity, and rise up, Lord, and be priests of God, and to serve our generation. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing for us, that we are your children. Now help us to be accountable, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Come and worship, royal priesthood. Come and praise him, holy nation. Worship Jesus, our Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Most High God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thou art God, and there is no one beside thee, O Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to ask Stan Josephson, if he will, to conclude in prayer tonight.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy, Lord Jesus, of service. You are worthy, Lord Jesus, of a whole burnt offering. Lord Jesus, we pray that the consecration that we make shall be permanent with us, Lord.
Yes.
That we renew it day by day. May it be written upon our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus. That we not fail you. That we not come short, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord, because you are the Lord of glory, and now you commit us, you keep. Hallelujah, Lord. We look forward, Lord Jesus, to the day that is upon us. Thank you, Lord. Let your anointing be upon each one of us this time, Lord. as we go our way. Oh, Jesus, may your Spirit continue to work in our hearts, Lord. Oh, may we appropriate your word, Lord Jesus, and your Spirit and your anointing, Lord Jesus. May we do as the pastor said, Lord. May we allow the gift that you give, Lord, to work in our own lives permanently. Praise your name, Lord. May Christ must be for you.
Oh, yes.
We give you all the glory and honor this in Jesus' name.
Amen. The altars are open for any who would like to pray. As long as you want to pray, altars are open. God bless everyone.